Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Tuesday, January the 6th, 2026, 1626. That was a short break, wasn't it? 10 and a half minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. And the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. I'm not sure if our guest is going to join us this hour or not. Kind of been a bad week for guests here, timing the guest visits out. But hopefully before the end of the program, we'll have our guest. If we don't, we've had good conversation via the telephone. As I was saying, I attended the city council committee meeting last night. Basically, it was a finance committee meeting. There was one other committee that met last night. But there wasn't a whole lot coming out of that meeting. These arguments that continue about everything that's going on in the city being had in front of the audiences, the Facebook audiences, so on and so forth, the newspaper, us here at the radio station, I don't know why they continue to happen. I just don't quite understand. And maybe that's my problem with the whole thing. I don't know why these people can't talk. Now, maybe they are talking. I don't know if they are or not, because I have not had a chance to talk to any of them. But I think if they just talked, a lot of this could be sorted out. Or at least the part where they go to city council and they have these arguments that go on for a half hour, 45 minutes. That could be done away with. And for the life of me, I cannot figure out why this continues to happen the way it does. Now, last night's conversation was all about the city's new payroll system, ADP. Now, is this the auditor's fault? I don't know. Certainly, it was laid at her feet that people are not getting paid correctly in the city, that people's pay stubs are not right, that vacation time is not accruing correctly. But then the mayor gets involved after the auditor says ADP is a horrible system, and that's where the problem lies, and the mayor says that the problem lies with the auditor. So obviously that didn't go over well. So the two of them had a little contretemps back and forth. And then Twyla Lang got involved. And again, I still don't understand the whole situation where the head of the finance committee keeps saying, we have done this, we have done that, we have done this. Now, is she part of the administration? Now, this is an important question, I think, to be asked, because if you have a city council person working as a representative for the administration, how can they be working as a representative for city council? And what city council person is working as a representative for the auditor's office? I don't know that there are any. So here we are. But again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Now, as far as the heating system here in the studio, 76.5 degrees right now, which again is much better than yesterday. Started out at 89 yesterday, got down to about 80 by the time that I left with the window open. It's still a little, it's definitely cool in the building now. But again, I don't know if that's because the temperatures went up outside and they turned the heat down in here, or if it's because the window was open last night. I'm not really sure. But right now, things seem to be okay. So I guess we take it as it comes here. And if it's good news, we're happy, and that it's not almost 90 degrees in here, we're very happy about this morning. Okay, well, what else is there to talk about here? Well, does anybody have anything more to say about Venezuela? You know, people are locally are really talking about this. I've had many conversations with people over the last few days about what happened in Venezuela on Saturday morning. Now, the basic consensus that I am hearing is that people are definitely happy that Maduro is gone because he was an evil dictator, did a lot of bad stuff. But did the United States have the right to do what they did? And who is running the country and of Venezuela? And what kind of regime is being run over there at this point? Because it's we've been led in the United States to believe that we are running Venezuela. But what kind of regime are we running? And who is running that country right now? I think these are the questions that we don't have answers to that are upsetting people at this particular time. But that's where we are. Again, if anybody has anything to say, feel free to weigh in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Also, you know, President Trump has said things about Greenland. He said things about Cuba. You know, these things. I guess we'll see where that all goes. Go ahead, caller.
Don't cry for me, Venezuela.
There you go.
Gee-zee.
You know, it's interesting. They took Noriega out of Panama, right?
Right.
Pretty much the same circumstances as what Maduro is in. And Maduro's vice president is the one running it. The United States isn't running Venezuela yet. They are, I think it's fair to say, controlling Venezuela.
Well, and I think that's part of the problem. See, now, if that is the truth of it, which people are not really sure of, if that is the truth, then the problem is, okay, you took out a horrible dictator who has not been recognized by the United States for quite some time now, Maduro.
Well, hold on. Not only the United States, many, many other countries.
Right, but we're the ones who went in and got him. So this was a guy, evil dictator, nobody denies that, who was taken out by the United States and will stand trial here in the United States. Now, if his vice president is in charge, Maduro was just the head of that government. The rest of the government is still the government that he had set up, the dictatorial government. The person who actually won the last election is not in power. So if the power of Venezuela just fell back on his vice president, then it's still being run as it was under Maduro. So how did this get any better?
Well, you cut the head of the snake off. Once that head of the snake is gone, the rest does tend to crumble. There's no longer a leader. And have you noticed how Maduro, he kind of looks similar to Saddam Hussein? I have a question. Could Maduro be Saddam Hussein's bastard brother?
Well, not that I'm aware of, but here's the thing. When the president said on Saturday, we are going to take over Venezuela and run it an undisclosed amount of time. Okay, why would you, what has changed there now that Maduro is gone if his vice president is calling the shots?
Well, his vice president won't necessarily know what to do because she doesn't have him to tell him what to do.
Well, it's my understanding she was pretty well in on everything that was going on. And why was this done? You know, that's another question people have.
Well, if I recall, didn't Maduro beg Trump to come in and get him?
Well, I don't know that he begged Trump to come in and get him, but I think what
he told him, come get me.
Well, yeah, but I think that was tongue-in-cheek. I think what he was...
Oh, I don't know. No, you look at that. You take a look at the posture of Maduro, the arrogance, just like Saddam Hussein, and he's taunting him like he's above anything, and he's blowing up, he's getting his drug boats all blown up, and that's not enough of a deterrent for him. So, hey, come get me.
Right, right. All he right. wasn't serious. He wasn't saying, come get me. He was, you know, it was tongue-in-cheek. It was, you know, sarcasm.
How do you know?
Well, I don't think the man wanted to be arrested and taken out of his own country in the middle of the night.
Who does? But that was the arrogance of this dictator. You know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I agree with you.
Come get me. If you're so tough, beat me up. You know?
But
he was thinking he was so far removed from the United States and beyond reach. That's how delusional this dictator is.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He wasn't serious when he said, come get me. But,
we can't be sure.
Okay. Well, regardless, he's gone. And who's going to run this country, and what is the real reason that this has happened? I mean, do you want to leave the same regime in place that was there under Maduro, which was not a legitimate regime?
I think that if they... tried to stabilize by having elections, that regime would be way gone.
Well, you know, you think that, but when has this ever worked? Libya, Iraq, Afghanistan,
Panama.
Egypt.
Panama.
Yeah, but when has it ever turned out well? When has the United States involvement in the government, forming or helping or
Japan.
Putting...
Japan.
Yeah. Well, I don't
Germany?
Think... Well, yeah. But I don't think that these situations in South America or the Middle East have ever turned out well. They have a little different perspective.
Well, South America is unfortunately like Africa and the Middle East. There are too damn many... I can't think of the word that escapes me right now, but there's... Is this tribe, that tribe, tribalism, I guess, would be a fair thing. Why is it South America is considered a third world country, Africa a third world country? They've never led anywhere towards unification, organization, collaboration, any of those things. They've always been tribal. Clannish, etc., like that, just like in the Middle East, Afghanistan, Northern India, hell, even India, so much tribal stuff. It's unbelievable.
Well, that's the point. So why get involved in that? And how? What does oil?
Well,
what part does oil have to play?
You got to understand all of the people who sought asylum from Venezuela in the United States.
Illegally. You know, that's a question I have.
Illegally. You know, what do you do when your country has an influx of people fleeing and asking for political asylum?
Here's a question I have.
You had the diplomatic corps trying to open up diplomatic relations to say, hey, why are you people wanting to get the hell out of your country?
Well, here's my question. There are political prisoners being held in Venezuela. Why have they not been released? Have they been released?
Or have they just disappeared?
Well, no.
Only Maduro and his henchmen know for sure.
Well, hasn't the United States leaned on them at this point?
Well, I think they leaned on them fairly hard Saturday, you know?
It's well, that's like, what I'm saying. Why are these people...
Get it together, or we're going to come down here, shake things up, hold an election, and you're going to have to live with that election.
Well, that's what I think that's the problem. Okay, get it together. Who's getting it together? The Maduro's vice president?
The country.
Why?
The country. The people who have been oppressed and lived under the thumb of a dictator.
So how do you do that?
Well, I think it's demonstratively like what is currently happening.
Well, what is happening in Venezuela right now? Are they trying to overthrow the government that's there?
When you say they...
The people of Venezuela.
Venezuela, are they trying to overthrow the government? You mean the people who've been oppressed by Maduro?
Right.
They are probably trying to organize to see what the next step of the United States is to help them bring democracy, voting, etc., an organization to an otherwise, well, I guess you can't say it's chaos because of Maduro. Maduro had an iron fist. You either conformed or bye-bye.
Yeah, but I guess that goes back to my point. When in South America or the Middle East in the last 40 years has this ever worked every time the United States tries it?
It's because those countries have their tribes, and they're not happy. They fight amongst themselves, and whatever collective gets together to agree on something, there's always that faction that's out for blood.
Well, and I guess another problem here is how did this help the United States financially? Is it the oil situation?
I think it helped with the allies of the United States that has seen for years Maduro being the rotten bastard that he is, and these other countries are other allies. It's freed up the oil that apparently was predominantly going to China. I can't remember if some of it went to Russia or whatever, but it's going to free it up for our allies and friends of the United States.
Well, right. So are we taking over their oil?
The president says they're not. The president says they just want to get oil production back up and get it, the distribution, to the other countries that are friendly to the United States and need that production. You got to remember, the United States is the world's largest oil-producing nation.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying it seems that this has a lot to do with oil. You know, Venezuela has more oil than Saudi Arabia. So,
that's what they're saying. But the fact of the matter is, if I understand correctly, that Maduro cut oil off to a bunch of countries, was feeding Russia, and where else? I forget. I can't remember now. The other country.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to get down to here, is Venezuela going to make that decision, or is the United States going to make that decision?
So when you say is Venezuela, are the people of Venezuela hopefully will be taking control and have open elections and steer their country back to be a more favorable government to the people of Venezuela.
But this is going to take some time. So while that happens...
It's not going to happen overnight. Maduro's been there, 20-some years?
Right. So who makes the decisions while that's going on?
Well, it's probably going to be a combination, perhaps the United Nations, U.S. Diplomatic Corps is going to be in there. There's going to be a whole host of people to help them get back on their feet and get them functioning.
We'll see
just
if that's...
like the state of Ohio coming into Marion to get Marion back up on its feet and become more of a functioning government entity.
Well, like I say, we'll see if that's what happens, but I don't know.
Well, we can only hope. You know, what's the alternative? It would have been continuation of torture, etc., etc.
Well, here's my other question. Yeah, okay, but how many people? Certainly Putin does the same thing. And there were a lot of other bad guys. Now, are we going to try to do the same thing with them?
But is Putin cutting off oil to a bunch of our U.S.-friendly allies?
No, but he's certainly involved in a war with Ukraine, in which we have asked him many, many times to stop and given him deadlines and hasn't abided by any of those as of yet.
Well, that's something that pressure can be put upon Donald Trump. He said he would have Ukraine-Russian war settled within a very, very short period of time.
I think we already passed that time.
Well, yeah, but like I say, that's something you can press President Trump on in that respect. But, you know, these, it's like trying to get city council to work together. You got people that have fragile egos, etc., and some people who get their feelings of importance crushed. It's the same kind of dynamics, you know? And it's childish. That's why you can look at South America, a third world continent, Africa, a third world continent, etc.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, I listened to the president's press conference on Saturday, and he seemed to feel that the United States was going to take over Venezuela for an undisclosed amount of time, and that oil, he mentioned oil many, many times in that conversation.
Well, I think you can realistically, if in fact you're quoting an undisclosed amount of time, in reality, it's an undetermined amount of time.
Well, I don't think he's disclosing it either.
Because, you know, it's like trying to turn India free from Britain. Everything that had to be done, infrastructure, everything. It's almost creating a completely new country.
Well, why I'm saying
it doesn't happen overnight.
Why I'm saying undisclosed is I believe somebody knows how long they want to be there.
I would say that probably somebody's thinking we don't want to be here any longer than X. And if we can get there sooner than X, so much the better, because we've got enough problems here at home to take care of. Tim Walz, Ilhan Omar, so on and so forth.
Well, and I think that's one of the problems people are having with this in general, is that we've got a lot of issues here that are not being taken care of, and we spent, well, I think it was, what, close to $1 billion on this operation?
On the Venezuela situation?
Yeah.
Well, it would be hard to say, because one has to realize the United States Navy is always active. The only things that cost above their day-to-day operational expenses is when they're blowing shit up, you know? Otherwise, they're patrolling, they're out, they're all over the place.
Well, I'm pretty sure the number was close to $1 billion on the mission to apprehend Maduro.
Gee whiz. Just think if we could have apprehended Ilhan Omar and the rest of those miscreants up in Minnesota. Oh, well, I would say that's pretty cheap going after Maduro, you know.
We shall see what happens. Thanks.
Well, we can only hope for a better tomorrow.
All right, phone lines are open. Does anybody want to elaborate on that conversation? Because I'll tell you, even though this is obviously national news, Venezuela, it certainly is something people are talking about in Marion, Ohio, of all ages. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I want to correct Terry.
Oh, go ahead.
Africa is a continent.
That's
not
true.
A country.
Not a country.
And he seems to think that, I don't know how many people Venezuela has, how many millions of people they got. And he mentioned our council can't get along. So how is everybody going to get along in that country, all the people that they need to get together and, you know, and get along to do it? A strong man that comes up that was just as bad as Maduro is going to occupy that country unless we put troops and boots on that country. And we're not just going to have a dozen of them. We're going to have a bunch of them. So...
Well, do you understand who's running the country right now? Is it Maduro's vice president, who my understanding is pretty much as bad as Maduro was?
Yeah, I mean, she's pretty much running the country, and then different military, their factions are running things right now, too. You know, the military is, you know, kind of not together there, you know, after this, so... In some areas, the military there is running it. In other areas, but that don't mean they want to be ruled by the vice president. I don't know.
No, but so the United States is not in charge there now. They're not calling the shots. They're not doing any of this. Because that was the impression we were left with.
What's going on with them, you know, according to what I'm reading on the news and stuff. We don't have massive boots in the ground, and she's the one that's running the country now, but she's going to be a Donald Trump bootlegger, so anybody that is going to end up running that country, if we have Donald Trump in office, is going to be Donald Trump's bootlegger. And talk about the oil. Well, the American oil companies do not want to invest money in there. They're saying they don't want to go in there, invest a lot of money, and then get changed again. You know, they spent a lot of money before, and look what happened. So, you know, if you read on the, I don't know, you know, how many news I read, you know, listen to a lot of them, and, you know, the oil companies do not want to go in there.
No, but so my question...
They don't want to go in there.
What about the political prisoners? I mean, why have they not been freed since Maduro is out?
Well, I don't know. We'll just ship them to whatever that country is. We're sending the rest of them there. You know, Donald Trump openly talks about wanting Greenland. He says we'll go into Mexico, Colombia,
Cuba.
I mean, this could all start under the next world war that should have never happened anyhow. I don't care how bad a guy Maduro was. It's not up to us to do that.
You know what I cannot understand, and this
like
is
the bully is what we're looking like.
Yeah, but I keep saying undisclosed because why don't we know what is going on? We certainly knew when Maduro was captured. We certainly knew that operation had happened. We certainly knew what the president and the secretary of state said in their press conference at 11 a.m. Eastern time on Saturday morning. But why have we not known anything since then? Why are we not getting a lot of information about who's running this country, who's pulling the strings? Why are the political prisoners still being held in prison? Have they been released? What's the oil situation over there? Why don't we know any of this?
Well, if we do know, they don't want to say.
Well, yeah, but at some point, somebody's got to know something, and I don't understand how the Venezuelan people... Okay, you have put the vice president of a dictator, a horrible dictator, in charge of the country. Now, how is that a good thing?
You know, Greenland is a member of NATO. Now, I guess we're no longer in NATO now for Donald Trump. And the other countries have said that they will retaliate if we try to take Greenland.
I can't imagine
Canada
that.
Canada and all these countries over there in Europe, they're all talking about war plans because they don't trust us.
Yeah.
We don't have anybody in there that is trustworthy. With every time he opens his mouth, it's a lie.
But I can't imagine that the Congress would go along with that.
Congress did not know nothing about this.
Well, that's another problem as well. Nobody.
Yeah, they did not. This was a shock to Congress. And they're working on, you know, the problem with that, all that is the wheels turn so slowly.
You know what's interesting? Harding was all about America first, and that was Donald Trump's slogan, America first, and a lot of his people are not very happy because they certainly don't feel this Venezuela issue is America first.
I mean, the billions of dollars we're going to end up spending over there, and we don't have, we kick people off the health care, making their premiums skyrocket.
Well,
when we get out of there, you see what they say the total billion dollars is over there.
Well, I think we're close to a
billion. That could have been used over here. What? We got bridges and roads that need infrastructure, our power system.
Well, I think we're close to a billion on this right now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they say. So.
Well, here we are. Well, hey, thanks for calling. And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to get in on the Venezuela conversation. 41 coming up on 42 minutes past the hour. First Tuesday in 2026. First Tuesday in the month of January, 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, you're wondering, what is it? Why haven't the prisoners been released in Venezuela?
Yes.
You're wondering why?
Why?
Well, Scott,
Maduro's vice president is there. Do you think she's just going to release them?
No, but...
You've got to realize everything Maduro, policies, this, that, and whatever, is still in place as long as she is there. To keep it going.
Right, but now, is there a belief that the President and the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense have not had...
Secretary of War, Department of War.
Yes, the Department of War. So, that they have not, that they're not having conversations with this person right now?
Who knows? You know, we don't know what's going on. I'm wondering if we... I got to believe we don't have, if it's been a dictatorship like that, here's a question to find out. Do we have a diplomat in Venezuela? Or is the door now open to have an embassy and a diplomat there?
But are we to believe what the president said, that the United States... is going to take over Venezuela. We're going to run it. That's what he said during the press conference, 11 a.m. Saturday morning.
So do you think it'll become a disjointed territory of the United States?
Well, no, I'm just curious, are we running it or are we not running it? Because when
not at this point, as long as that woman is in charge, absent of Maduro... We may be controlling it, but we're not running it.
I cannot believe that the United States has not had conversations with her about what
they probably have, but, you know, that's something we'll never know until it's brought to light with a press release by the president. You know?
So, but again...
That's just one of the things, stuff like this.
Right, but that's the problem. Usually, when a president does something like this, they have a plan. And that's what the press conference is all about, following the capture of somebody like this, is they tell you why they did it, they tell you what's going to happen, and that's what happens. And that's what's confusing here. They told us why they did it, why they went after Maduro, but the president said, we, when asked, well, who's going to take over the country now that the head is going? We are. We're going to take over, and I don't know how long we're going to have it, but we're going to take it over, is essentially what he said. But that's not what has happened, apparently, 4 days later. And I'm not sure why that is. And if it has happened, then why are the political prisoners not released? And what kind of government are we running over there? Are we running Maduro's government? Are we trying?
Not running anything. It's being controlled right now. Everything's in negotiations to try to get them to relinquish their stranglehold and let the people vote for a new government.
Well, why is the person who just won the election legitimately not being put in power? The lady, I can't think of her name, but the lady who was just...
Well, you have to realize Maduro had a hell of a lot of armed thugs backing his play. So it gets down to negotiations. It gets down to talks that the press, the public won't be even privy to. And even if they do have a press release, and they mentioned this, that, and everything else, in all likelihood, we'll probably be lucky if we hear half of what actually transpired.
Well, but here's the problem that people are having. This is what it all boils down to. If you leave a dictatorial regime in power, you probably are going to be able to do business with them because dictators can do pretty well what they want in a country. If you have an election and you have an installed democratically leader, they are going to do what's in the best interest of that country, and they're not necessarily going to work so well with another country like the United States. Which is why this is always a problem in places like Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, Egypt. That's why it's the problem. Because if you put a democratically elected government in charge, they are supposed to act in the people's behalf. Well, that's not going to be giving the United States access to their oil. But a dictatorial regime certainly could do that and certainly would do that. Now, what's going on here? That's the question. And, you know, I'm just trying to take the president at his word at this point. When he says, we're taking it over, well, was that that day? Is that a week from now? I mean, how long are you going to leave this lady in power who worked under Maduro?
She's either going to have to flee the country, or she's either going to have to acquiesce. That's basically what it boils down to. Once one of those two things happens, then they can go in, set up a structure to help them get their government organized and functioning. Set up elections, so on and so forth.
Well, like I say, when is the deal with the oil going to happen? Before or after that? Because for some reason, Trump's comments about the woman in power now seem to be a whole lot better than his comments about the woman who actually won the last election. He doesn't seem to be a fan of hers for some reason.
Well, how could anybody be a fan of somebody that is so treacherous, so evil?
No, no, this is the woman who won the election but never got power. The woman who defeated Maduro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's not a fan of hers.
Well, you know, again, personalities, all of those kinds of things. Maybe if they get in there, she would win fair and square an election should they be restructured to have an election and have her there. But, you know, you have to remember one important thing, that the prospect of a communist satellite being Venezuela and the trading of oil through Putin, etc. Although, you know, we haven't seen communism. We've seen fascism. We've seen totalitarianism. We've never seen communism. Communism has never existed. A bastardized version of communism has always been there because they've become dictators in a totalitarian regimes that have run these countries. That's why communism will never work, ever, period.
Well, we'll see how it shakes out. Thanks for calling.
We're better tomorrow.
All right, we've got about 10 minutes left in this hour if you'd like to call in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to get in on the conversation this morning. It's very interesting, let's say. Let's go to the phones here. Go ahead, caller.
My goodness, some interesting conversations this morning, eh?
Well, I think it's thoughtful this morning. I think it's good.
Well, there's something that I heard on the news, a documentary that I was watching last night. It was, well, I guess it was probably more of an informational show than news. But it was talking about us going into Venezuela and how we're going in force. And I heard you say America first. Apparently that is no longer a thing. Now we're back to let's just bully people into our way. So one thing is, yes, Venezuela has a lot of oil, and I don't care what anybody says. That's why we're there at this point in time. The man's been a horrible dictator for decades.
Hey, however, I want you to get in on this, but I want to read this from one of our listeners out there this morning, because I think it's kind of where you're going, but then I want you to follow up. Trump on Sunday night doubled down on his assertion that the U.S. was in charge of the South American nation after first proclaiming on Saturday the U.S. would run the country until such time as we can do a safe, proper, and judicious transition. Trump, speaking in depth on the operation from his Mar-a-Lago club that morning, said the U.S. would make Venezuela great again. American companies would soon start selling the country's vast oil reserves, he said. So are we running Venezuela?
Okay, Venezuela has the oil. We have the ability to refine it better than anyone, and quicker and better than anyone in the world. So they have an infrastructure problem that they can't get their oil as quickly as we can get ours. They've got tons more than we do. They just don't have the technology and the infrastructure to get it out of the ground like we do.
Right.
So we can refine it when we get it out of the ground. That's why Canada ships their oil here to have us refine it. We can refine oil like nobody's business.
Right, but who?
Now, but what I heard, though, that I wanted to share to touch on what Terry said, and no, I do not believe in communism. I am not a communist. However, what China is doing in these African countries and these poor South American countries, I watched a whole documentary on it last night. I was shocked. They are going into these third world, second and third world countries. And whereas, you know, we're throwing them out at the border, and we're, and I'm not saying, just let them run in here. There's a whole lot of stuff at play here. But what China is doing is China is going and investing in these countries, and they're setting up their little 10-cent per hour factories in these countries, and they're giving these people hope and a way to support themselves. They don't give a shit that it's China and that it's a bunch of communists. They now have a way to support themselves and their families that doesn't involve the cartels or some horrible mining and bare feet and with your bare hands. And China doesn't care about the cartels, because who are the cartels to China? China will take them on, whereas we won't. You know what I mean? We really want, if we wanted to destroy the cartels, let's be real, we could just go bomb and burn everything. But we don't do that. China will. So they seem to be having a little symbiosis with the cartels down in South America. And they're bringing these people hope. And you know what they're doing? They're turning all these countries that saw America as the shining city on the hill into the bad guy and making China the good guy. And they're doing the same thing all over Africa, too. So while we're up here worrying about one little country, Venezuela, China is out nation building entire continents. And we're pissing off all of our allies.
Right, and that's very well true. But who is running Venezuela? Why is
Venezuela,
this such a...
Whoever was running Venezuela before we captured their president is still running Venezuela. I don't know if they think Venezuela is going to negotiate over Maduro. The vice president might be like, thanks, now I've got my job.
Well, then why was it said by the president that we're running it?
Why does he say half the thing he said? Half of the things he says.
I don't know. You know, I try to take the man at his word.
Don't lie. Come on. Do
well,
you?
Well, I'm trying.
Can you make
I'm
sense of some of those thousand word tweets that he comes, or whatever they're called?
I'm trying to take the man at his word at a press conference when he says we're going to be running the country, which I never really understood how that was going to take place anyway. But
same way we ran Afghanistan. And, you know, Terry's talking about going over there and doing this and setting up elections and blah, 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 blah. Didn't we do all of that in Afghanistan, and for what? I watched another documentary about that, it was a 20-year-old woman from Afghanistan who her whole life she'd grown up in the new Afghanistan. She'd been allowed to go to school. She had been allowed to think about having a career. She'd been allowed to have all of those dreams that a normal human being, we would hope, are able to achieve in their life. And we just bailed in Afghanistan and the Taliban's back in charge. So what did that get us? And it sounds to me like what we've done in Venezuela now is we've set up really good conditions for a civil war, for the people that don't want to continue to be ruled by the dictator, and for the dictator's people that don't want to give up power.
Well, and by the way, we didn't get into it today, but there is a whole lot of issues, starting in Ohio and breaking loose with our governor. You know, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine is pushing back against accusation that the state's Somali-run daycares are defrauding the public. This is an issue right now.
But and you know, it's like like Lee said, though, we have taken money away from people's Americans' health care. We've taken all kinds. We've cut all kinds of programs, whether you believe in them or not. Would you rather your money be spent in Venezuela, or would you rather your money be spent in the United States?
Well, this is what Mike DeWine. This is a quote, and I think this is very important for people to understand. And maybe we'll talk about this tomorrow. But this Mike DeWine said, the vast majority of Somalians have been here for a long time. Many of them are citizens. Many of them run businesses. These are situations where we really have to look at the facts. It's not internet sensation.
What, don't we have a large Somali population because we went over there and tried to stabilize their country because they were in a horrible civil war?
Yes.
Didn't that have to do with some nation building?
Refugees, yeah.
But yeah,
I don't,
that had to do with some nation building over there, too.
Well, but because of what's going on in Minnesota, they've now turned to Ohio because of that whole eating the cats and dogs thing. And so now, here we are.
Because I wish people paid attention to stuff that mattered.
Because here we are, second on the list, I guess, as far as this fraud goes. But and I also was reading yesterday, you know, I don't want to alarm people, but the super flu, the flu that apparently has mutated this year, apparently we're toward the bottom of the list, so says the CDC, of being equipped to deal with this. Ohio.
Well, it doesn't really exist until people just start falling out dead.
Well,
and then even if that should happen, did it really? Because we'll have to complain about it about 5 or 6 years later, and government shutdowns and people's lives were ruined, and, you know.
Well, a lot of this is going to have a big impact on this gubernatorial election this year, and I, you know, people better pay attention to it.
I no boots on the ground anywhere. Keep American troops. I don't care if the Navy's out patrolling. That is their job. Do not put one boot on the ground in Venezuela.
Yeah. Well,
I do want to bring up one point. Terry's talking about all dictatorships and whatever, and I sent you Saudi Arabia. We're in bed with Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia murders journalists.
Oh, by the way, who was the person, the leader of the country? Oh, geez. Now, why is it out of my head? Trump just pardoned him not too long ago.
Oh, the drug dealer.
The drug dealer, yes.
He was a drug dealer. We'll have to come up with that one. But the guy that founded the Silk Road 2, which is basically the dark web drug dealing internet, Trump just pardoned him, too.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't understand what's going on here. Do we have any consistency in what people are saying and what they're doing?
It doesn't matter as long as it sounds good and sounds tough, and it's the distraction of the day.
Well, and
if these people really had to send a kid or think about sending a family member or something to some pointless war for oil, maybe they would think twice about it.
Well, I think that's right. Thanks for calling.
Bye, Scott.
All right. Well, tomorrow the conversation will continue, and who knows what the conversation will be tomorrow. But I guarantee we'll be back starting at 8:15 tomorrow morning. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Listen to former star of The Jeffersons and 227